Let's pretend that we are in the first century in the city of Jerusalem. To be exact, around AD 30. And you and I walk along the streets and walking toward the magnificent building in the city known as Temple. And as we walk along and come closer to the temple, we begin to see people around there. And there's one man standing out, surrounded by 12 men, and there are more people after that surrounding all of them. And you and I both realize the man standing out is, of course, Jesus. So we were curious, and we come closer to the group, and we begin to hear the conversation they had. And one of these 12 men happened to be Jesus' disciples, saying that, "Look, this beautiful and magnificent building. It took 40 years for King Herod to complete this building." And the second disciple next to him said, "Look," standing right next to the huge stone. And he said, "Look, this one stone is bigger and higher and taller than I am." The conversation was going around how magnificent the temple is. And after hearing all of this, we hear Jesus saying, "Folks, I just let you know, the building you admire at, the building you marvel at, the temple of God, will no longer be here. It will be utterly destroyed, and no stone would be left on another." Wouldn't you be shocked? Well, what is he talking about? Sure enough, about 40 years later, his prophecy came true, and a total destruction of Jerusalem took place. Historically, it is known as the Fall of Jerusalem, AD 70. Now, shortly before the fall, when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Roman army under siege, a group of believers, Christians, really believed that that was the end of the world. So taking the Lord's instruction to flee to the mountains in the wilderness in the last days, if it happens, this is what Jesus says, Matthew 24:16, that those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. So they took it literally, and they abandoned Jerusalem, snuck out, and went into the wilderness in preparation of the coming of the Lord second time. For this very act, those Christians were accused and later persecuted by the fellow Jews as traitors. "You abandoned us when we were fighting the Roman army." Consider this. Why do you think the believers at the time fled to the mountains in the wilderness? Because they loved the fresh air of the mountains? Because they loved mount hiking? No. Because that's what the first century church really believed. The imminent return of the Lord. Parousia, it is known, the Greek word parousia, as the second advent or the second coming of the Lord. Well, you and I both know Christ did not return immediately, and time went on and people moved on. Now, after the first generation of believers passed away without seeing Christ's second coming, a question arose among the next generation of believers concerning the unfulfilled expectation of the parousia, second coming. What happened, they wondered, to the promise of the Lord's second coming? In today's text, the second letter to the believers, Peter addresses that very issue to the faith community. He begins the letter with a gentle reminder. If you read verse 1 again, he says, "I want to stir up in you the wholesome thinking concerning the promise of parousia. In other words, Peter did not want to ignore it. He didn't want to avoid that issue. He just wanted to tackle the same baffling issue of why the Lord did not return right away. Head on. So he sets the tone here in verse 1 and 2 by reminding them of three things that are crucial to understand the parousia. What is the first one? The prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. The second one is the commandments of the Lord that Jesus himself. And the third, the teachings of the apostles. He says all of them prophesied of Jesus' second coming, and all of them confirmed the promise, and all of them, in fact, still do in the 21st century through the written word of God. You remember his word, wholesome thinking? You have to consider looking at it from every angle to have the balanced understanding and therefore practice. So whenever we talk and think and reason about the Christ's second coming, we must consider them all. Prophecies in the Old Testament and commandment of the Lord, and also the readings and writings and teachings of the apostles. All, not just one or two, but all three in the Bible. Remember about 4 years ago, Harold Camping prediction? He says the end of the world will come in May, some I forgot the date, 2011. He thoroughly believed it. The problem was that he did not check what the Lord says about no one knows about the day or hour of the second coming, right? So you got to have them all, Old Testament prophecies and Jesus' own words and the teachings of the apostles. So today, as part, we are going to consider Peter's explanation. Now, if you read the today's text second time, you'll see that I can summarize and all these, texts into and with the following three questions. The question number one, where is the promise of parousia, the return of the Messiah? Number two, is the Lord slacking off concerning his promise? Number three, what manner of persons ought we to be while we await his coming? Let me repeat them. Question number one, where is the promise of parousia? This question was raised by the mockers. Question number two, is the Lord slacking up concerning his promise? This was raised by the believers. Now, question number three, what manner of persons ought we to be while we await his coming? This third question was raised by Peter himself. Question number one, where is the promise of parousia? Peter even predicted here, in the later days, you will see people who will scoff at, people, the Christian faith and practice. And those scoffers will raise the question, and they did too in the past, where is the promise of parousia? Everything remains the same, just as it was from the creation of the world. There's no evidence of God's judgment in the world, not from the creation of the world until now. Therefore, they argue, do not wait for parousia. It is not happening. Now, Peter's answer is this. Folks, do not pay attention to what they're saying. Rather, pay attention to the scripture and believe in God's promise of parousia. He is faithful and he will keep his promise. And Peter reiterated what the scoffer says. Yes, the Lord indeed created the heavens and the earth and everything in them out of water and by water. However, not everything remains the same, he says. Do not forget, when evil becomes too powerful in the world and among people, God judges the world. For instance, in Noah's time, God judged the world with water, didn't he? In due time, Peter says, God will bring another judgment for the same reason and for the same world and for the second time, this time, not with water, but with fire. If you read verse 10, he says this, the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Now, if you read some commentators and commentaries on this verse 10, you will see some of them interpret it as, wow, they're talking about the atomic bomb. Intense heat, remember, burn up, it must be atomic bomb. In fact, that interpretation I heard in 1970s when I was in Korea. They were talking about World War III and all these things. Most recently, some people say that no, the intense heat must come from the sun. Have you heard of it flare up nowadays in the sun? Well, I'll leave it up to you. Now, on the day of judgment, Peter continues, God will avenge wrongs and bring perdition, destruction to the ungodly. Verse 7. He will bring his full reign to earth with peace and justice for all, and therefore, Peter exhorts the audience, trust in God's faithfulness in keeping his promise of parousia. The second question, is the Lord slacking off his coming? Now, in fact, 2,000 years ago, back then, people of God asked the same question, is the Lord slacking off? Why is he delayed? Peter's answer is this, no, the Lord will return precisely at the time when he means to. He's never too late, never too early. He is precisely on time and every time. In other words, his parousia may seem delayed to human eyes, but the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Actually, Peter asks us to remember two things here. Whenever you think about why is he not coming on time, two things you must consider. First one is that the concept of time in the eyes of the Lord's concept of time. And second is the Lord's patience. Let me just explain to you little by little here. First, about time. The Lord's understanding of time is quite different from that of humans. In verse 8, Peter says, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. Now, let me try to help you a little bit. Okay? Imagine the distance between the Earth and the sun. Any scientist? How far is it, the distance between sun and the earth? It's 150 million kilometers. If you're not familiar with the metric system, it's 93 million miles. You got that? 93 million miles. If you travel at the speed of space shuttle to stay in the orbit, okay, you have to travel at least 17,500 miles per hour. Mind-boggling, isn't it? So, I just converted into second. How fast do we go by second? 5 miles per second. Okay? That's how fast you gotta go. Now, who lives in the Ocean Acres here? Okay, some of you. It's about 2.5 or 3 miles from the church, right? Let's say 2.5. And you say, let me use John Parker, he's my friend, as an example. John forgot his reading glass this morning somehow. Oh, Pastor Choi, I gotta go and get my reading glasses and come back. 2.5 miles and 2.5, 5 miles. I said, okay, John, go ahead. I count, 1,001, and he's already back here. I said, what happened, John? Oh, 2.5 miles, 2.1 second, he's already back. That's how fast you travel. 5 miles per second. Got that? So if you travel at that speed, 17,500 miles per hour, or 5 miles per second, you know how long it takes to get to the sun? It'll take 19 million seconds. Oh, Pastor Tree, help me. 19 million seconds. I'll help you. 221 days. Okay? If you go at the speed of that space shuttle. Now, if you travel at the speed of light, which is 300,000 kilometers per second, okay, then it would take 500 seconds to get there. Speed of light. That means 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Are you with me? So in other words, you look at the sun and you see the first ray, sun ray hits your eyes. Don't think that it just left there. No, it took 8 minutes and 20 seconds to reach your eye, because it travels at the speed of light, right? So imagine this, 221 days versus 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Let's pretend that you and I, you know, at the speed of space shuttle, arriving at the sun, and we might say, gee, it took 221 days to get here. And someone, let's say an angel, traveled at the speed of light, say, hey, it took only 8 minutes for me to get here. Then regarding the parousia, we might say, Lord, we counted 2,000 years and still counting. God might say, hey, it only a couple of days for me. Peter's point here is this. Go with God's time, not yours. After all, it is He, the one who determines when it's going to be, not we. The second thing Peter wants us to consider is that the reason why the Lord takes time in His second coming is because He wants no one to perish. Therefore, He takes time so that He would give everyone a chance to hear the gospel and repent. Verse 9. You know, I think 2 or 3 years ago, we celebrated 7 billion people living in this world. And I think still adding up. So I think last most recent one I heard is 7.3 billion people living in this world. How many of you do you think have not heard the gospel yet? At least a billion or two, my rough estimate. They still need to hear the gospel message. Now Peter is saying is here, when you see the Lord's coming is, in your humble opinion, like delayed, then do not call it the slowness of God about His promise. Rather call it God's patience toward humanity. Question number 3. What manner of persons ought we to be? In the 21st century, God's people like you and me are still waiting for the parousia of the Lord. We need to ask the same question as Peter. What kind of God's people ought we to be? How shall we live daily? And Peter answers as follows. Number 1, he says, be ready for His coming. Why? Because the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Imagine this, if you know what time the thief would break into your house, you would be ready even at night, right? You wouldn't be in bed, sound asleep. Likewise, the Lord commands us to stay awake and be alert for the day of the Lord because we do not know the day or hour. By the way, in the scripture, whenever you read stay awake, be on the alert, it never means physically staying up. It always means pray, to pray. In other words, simple as this, if you do not pray, you are not awake. You are spiritually asleep. If you pray, you are spiritually awake. Simple as that. Think of yourself asking the question, do I pray? Do I stay awake? Well, Pastor Choi, I pray at bed. Children's prayer, does it count? I must say, yes, to be nice to you, yes, it counts. But the rest of the day, you're sound asleep. Ask yourself, Lord, Pastor Choi, I stay awake at night watching TV or internet. Does it count? Sorry, it doesn't count. Gotta be praying. How often do you pray? Ask yourself. If you read Mark chapter 13, Jesus talking about end times too. It's amazing. I was surprised last night as I was getting my message how often Jesus says the same thing. He repeats 4 times using the word be on your guard, keep on the alert, be on the alert, and be on the alert. 4 times in 1 chapter telling us how important it for us to stay on the alert. Be on the alert in prayer, folks. Let me tell you, most of us are sound asleep. And I'm afraid some of us will be caught off guard when the Lord appears. So Peter is saying that be ready for His coming because you do not know. Because the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. If you don't think the Lord will come tonight, he may come tonight. The second recommendation Peter makes is here. Be diligent and make every effort or ensure to be found in Jesus in peace, without spot, and blameless. Verse 14. In other words, pursue peace and holiness and godliness with God in your life. That's how you prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Why? By doing this, we prepare ourselves for the wedding banquet in heaven. Righteousness and holiness in life is like a proper wedding clothes to wear at the wedding of the church and the Christ. Did you know that when the second coming happens, Christ and the church, not the building, the body of Christ, will be united? The Bible uses the metaphor of wedding. So to participate in that wedding, we have to have a proper clothes. None of us go to the wedding unless really, really casual. We prepare ourselves, taking shower and getting the proper dress and, you know, clothes, whatever. So righteousness and holiness are considered that. Also in verse 12, Peter says this, by doing this, staying, you know, blameless and spotless and peace with Jesus, we are also looking for and even using the word hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Oftentimes, I do more often nowadays, Lord, how long should we suffer in this evil? What's going on in our evil, in our world? I really want to hasten. And if you want to hasten the day of the Lord, Peter says, pursue a lifestyle of without spot or blameless. You know, nothing impure and unclean will be in the presence of God, the Bible says. And no one will see God without holiness either. And only those with pure heart will see God, Jesus says. Now, most of us think that whenever you hear the word holiness and godliness, it's not for me. It's just few chosen, you know, people of God, like saints, whatever you call. No. It's God's intention, folks, for every one of us to be holy and spotless and blameless. You say, no, it's not me. You know what? God is working on you, and you need to do your part as well. You know, last night I was reading Mark chapter 7, and Jesus talking about what really defiles us. The opposite side, opposite word of the holiness and godliness is defilement, or what defiles us. Not physically, but spiritually. Okay? And this is what Jesus says. From within and out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, fornications and thefts and murders, adulteries and deeds of coveting and wickedness, deceit and sensuality and envy and slander and pride and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So if you want to stay pure and blameless, where do you start? Checking on your heart. Because we, and everyone knows, you and I both know, all these things come from our heart. Okay? And that's another topic for another time. So he says that be diligent, make sure that you be found in Jesus in peace, without spot and blameless. Do your work. Number three, he says, consider the Lord's patience with the parousia as the salvation opportunities for you and for many. Verse 15. Let us make the most of the time given us to reach out to the unsaved, especially our own family members. And I am sure you have a heart for your loved ones. So do I. I am sure that you pray for the salvation of your loved ones every single day and share the gospel with them. And so do I. Just make sure that you don't give up on them. Okay? Let me tell you, they would be eternally grateful for your witness and prayers. If you ask me, Pastor Choi, if you choose one person that you are most grateful to, who would it be? It's not my mother. It's not my father. It's not my even wife. You know who that is? My older brother. Because he introduced me to Jesus. Simple as that. There was a gentleman in the 19th century in England. His name is George Mueller. He operated an orphanage. that housed over 2,000 orphans at one time. 2,000 orphans without a single dollar help from the government. He was known as a man of prayer. He did that for years. And he was known as the man who got the over 50,000 answered prayers in his entire life. Let's give him like 50 years that he prayed. Divided, you know, 50,000 divided 50 years, that means 1,000 answered prayers every single year. Divided by 365 days, it means that three every day his prayers were answered. And this man of prayer prayed for certain individuals, handful of them, who believed that they need to know the Lord, salvation. And all of them but saved when he was alive, except one. The last one was also saved and got to know Jesus personally, shortly after his physical death. The point I'm making, folks, you may not see the salvation right away, but do not give up on praying for your loved ones for their salvation. Okay? If you don't care, who do you think will care in the world? Consider the Lord's patience with the parousia as the salvation opportunities. Okay? As for closing, I would say this. You and I are still waiting for parousia, Christ's return. Remember, when he comes this time, he will not come as the Savior, but the Judge, to bring the full reign of God to this world. Now, you and I shouldn't be afraid of his coming. How many of us are afraid, oh Lord, do not come tonight, I'm not ready. We shouldn't be afraid of his coming. In fact, we should welcome it and look for it with all our hearts. You know why? Because he will restore peace and justice for all, forever. This is what Revelation 21 says. When he comes, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Have you not seen enough tears? Yes, I have. And no more death, no more crying, and no more pain. Lord, come quickly. So believe in Christ, God's promise, and understand his patience, and hasten the parousia by righteous living style, lifestyle, and fervent love. Let's bow our heads and pray. There are rumors all over, especially this month of September, Lord, beginning with the worries about stock market and what's going on in the world and all these things. My heart, like the rest of us, are shaken and sometimes afraid, Lord, what we are getting into. But in moments like this, Christ commands us, first of all, and most importantly, not to be deceived. Second of all, not to be afraid. And third of all, to be prepared. Stay on the alert, in prayer, and in your lifestyle, and in loving fervently others. And when we do that, Lord, no matter what time you come, we are ready. Lord, come, come quickly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.